Years ago, a man was soliciting door to door for a local orphanage. And the solicitor approached one home and knocked on the door to be answered by an exhausted looking woman. The solicitor asked, "Pardon me, ma'am, but would you like to make a donation to the children's orphanage?" And without hesitation, the woman replied, "Oh, thank God, yes. Just hold here for 1 second. Let me go get them. Their ages are 2 and 4. Parents of young children may have moments of exasperation. Trust me, I've learned that the hard way. Yet, we all kind of understand in our hearts that children are indeed gifts from God. Now, I'm the first one to say things like, "My daughter's a precious little child of God, and she's the best thing that ever happened to me," and sappy things like that. But I've also come to realize over the years that some children might be, well, more of heavenly gifts than others. And I can tell that some of you know what I'm talking about. But the truth is, there is one little child that is not only more of a gift from God, but is the most gift from God. And here today, just a day or so after our big celebration of the birth of this heavenly gift, we get to see at an early age how this baby Jesus is affecting everyone around him. Because today we have the story of Simeon. Now, I love Simeon. It's one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story. It really is. For some reason, his role, he appeals to, I don't know, my sense of desire for purpose in God's plan. It appeals to my longing for peace in heart and soul and mind. One of the gifts that God brings to us is the gift of peace, right? During this Christmas season, people talk about peace, we preach about peace, we sing peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. But how many people really have true peace? I think it's a sign of our times that when you say that someone is at peace now, we typically mean they have died. How terrible is that? That's our definition of peace. Why is it that we seem to think that peace is something that's reserved for people in hospice care? Because peace is truly not something just for those at people's end of their lives. Peace is for us. It's for you. It's for me. We deserve peace. Not because we've earned it. Lord knows that's not the case. No, we can have peace because simply, God sent us peace. He sent us the Prince of Peace. And today we hear that song of Simeon, a man in the scriptures who knew peace. He knew that peace came from God and was God. In our scripture lesson, we read that Simeon was a righteous and devout man. He trusted in God and his promise to send a Savior. In the temple, Simeon had been waiting and waiting for God to make good on his promise. We don't know for sure, but I think it's safe to assume that Simeon was probably a fairly old man. The text tells us that the Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would not die before he got to see the Lord's Christ. So he waited and he waited until one day the Spirit moved him to enter into the temple. And I think we can learn something from this man who waits. Simeon trusted in the Lord. He trusted in his promise. When the Lord said that he would see the Christ, he believed. When the Holy Spirit led him into the temple, he followed. God makes promises, and those who trust will see the benefits. Upon entering the temple, Simeon found Mary and Joseph with their 6-week-old baby boy. As was the Jewish custom for firstborn sons, Jesus was to be presented at the temple and consecrated to Yahweh. And also Mary, as was custom after childbirth, would offer a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons as a sacrifice of sin and purification. But before any of this could be done, they were interrupted by Simeon, who ran up to them, grabbed the baby Jesus in his arms, and praised God. He praised God and then spoke those words that sound so familiar to us, but must have been rather strange to Mary and Joseph. He said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Now this is not the proclamation of a man who is afraid to die. He's not only at peace with his promised death, he is peaceful about it. He's happy about it. Simeon had a single desire. He wished to see the child who would bring redemption to all of Jerusalem. The child who would be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. His literal dying wish was to see the Christ. And now he was at peace because he had seen him. He had held him. And make no mistake, that peace that Simeon found in the Christ child would not come easy. As Simeon hands the Christ back to Mary and Joseph, he tells them that while many will be raised up as they trust in him, there would also be suffering and those who fall. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, Simeon spoke to Mary and Joseph. And this is the first reference in the Gospel of Luke that the salvation and peace that Jesus came to bring would only come through the pain of the cross. Mary and Joseph would suffer great anguish as Christ would suffer and die for the sins of the world. Simeon's full prophecy was, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Christ will bring the fall of some and the rise of others. Christ will speak, and the thoughts of many hearts will become clear. There is a certain symmetry in that parenthetical line that Simeon speaks to Mary and Joseph, "A sword will pierce through your own hearts also." A sword that Simeon speaks of here, it's a metaphor to describe the sorrow that they would feel at the suffering and death of the child. But this is also more than simple metaphor, right? Various swords play a much more literal role in the gospel events. If we read Matthew 26, we find that Jesus was arrested by a crowd armed with swords and clubs. And in reaction to this, Luke's gospel records the disciples asking Jesus, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And before he has a chance to answer, Simon Peter draws his sword and strikes one of the soldiers. And this is no surprise, as given that they had just vowed to defend Christ by the sword after he had revealed his faith at the Last Supper. And finally, after being whipped and then nailed to the cross while he is dying that slow and painful death of crucifixion, the soldiers, they pierce him in the side with a variation of the sword, the spear, right? To hasten his death. The sword that Simeon says will pierce Mary's soul is the sword that is Christ's death. It is his humiliation, his torture and crucifixion that pierces her soul and our souls as well. But even this is not without that beautiful symmetry. For as gruesome and horrible as Christ's death is, we know that there is a redeeming side to it as well. By Christ's death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. No longer do we need to cover our sins with the sacrifices of the Old Testament law. The final and ultimate sacrifice was given to us by Jesus Christ, our high priest, who gave his own life for ours. He suffered the death that we have earned. He paid the price for our salvation. In his death, he conquered the sin that grips us so tightly. And through his ascension, he sits at the right hand of the Father, guiding us to everlasting life. We are poor, sinful beings who are claimed and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And it is in this symmetry, in the darkness of our sin washed away by the light of the Lord, that we can be assured of our salvation and find finally true peace in our lives. Christ brings peace. Not this world, not even our relationships with one another. Christ brings us peace in this very moment if we trust in Him and wait patiently for the time when we, like Simeon, may also depart in peace and joy. Amen. Now know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.